This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song.
You are listening to the Bristol City Fan Show. There is no entrance quite like it on any of the fan shows. Nothing like it at all. Every Wednesday, it is the Robins Takeover, 9 to 9.30 on Love Sport Radio. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins, the station giving the fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Well, it was a special weekend for Bristol City. 125th anniversary for them, but it wasn't the 3 points they wanted. And a man to tell us all about it and those celebration is a man we really missed last week. It is Stanley Hughes from One Stream in Bristol. And if you're missing getting your say on your team this evening, tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Stanley, welcome back, brother. You have been missed, certainly by me the most. We have to talk about the game on the weekend. Not to be, and it was looking likely with that Wells goal to take the lead, but Fulham finding a way to get that equaliser.
Yeah, we'll take it. I think a lot of people were worried that, you know, we could extend our, you know, winless run to 5 games. We ended up doing that, but I think it'll take a point because then we haven't beaten Fulham for a long time at home. I think most City fans were comfortable with the 1-1 draw, maybe.
Yeah, 1-1 draw, and the fans applauded at the end, and Lee Johnson said, you know, that was the way we combated Fulham, and it was also a little bit for Fulham's performance. It is no win in 5, so what did you make of the point? Because you've had some tough games of late and struggled to pick up points, and yet you're still in the race. Can they build off what you saw on the weekend?
Yeah, I think Lee Johnson's favourite phrase is that it gives us a platform to build on, and to be honest, for once, I actually agree with one of his little Johnsonisms. I thought Wells and Vyman looked a good combo up front. And, you know, in some ways, Jeju was missed. But I think in other ways, it probably led to an attacking open game. And I'll tell you what, at halftime, Charlie, I was saying to my friends in the concourse, that might be the first home game that I've really enjoyed for a long time, to be honest. It was sort of very open, hard-working, free-flowing football from both sides, really. Lots of chances, albeit not too many, you know, world-class saves from either keeper. But I just thought it was just an enjoyable 45 minutes. And I haven't really felt like that for a while down at Ashton Gate.
It's good to hear that. Obviously, the game was on TV. I watched it. It was the early kickoff on the Saturday. The anniversary celebrations underway. And it was a good game of football, cheering Bristol City on. They didn't quite take those 3 points. But for you, Stanley, obviously, and we didn't get a chance to speak last week, how did you spend the day? And what are some of your favourite memories looking back at that 125 years? Did it go off with a bang, besides from the result?
Okay, so a couple of things. They had a sort of a procession before the game with all the ex-Bristol City players and legends, and it was woeful. It was embarrassing. They basically herded them into a corner. Basically, they were basically in the way of the club staff who were trying to bring down the goal that the Bristol City players were shooting into. They chatted to two people, and the PA system wasn't really working. And they didn't read out the players' names very well. There was no procession around the pitch or anything like that. So that was pretty woeful. They did release, and I know you strike me, Charlie, as someone who might collect football programmes, you know, in your spare time. And they had a 125th anniversary brochure that was quite good, which talked about some of the iconic moments of the club. But no, it was good. I thought the atmosphere was quite good, and they got rid of, been a big talking point on the podcast and amongst City fans. They ditched, hopefully it's for more than 1 week, but this week they ditched Seven Nation Army by White Stripes as the walkout music. They replaced it with some local band Wurzels and local band Massive Attack. And I think the crowd really, really enjoyed that, actually, in the atmosphere. To be honest, for a 12:30 kickoff, it's kind of hard to shovel down pints at that sort of time. The episode actually was quite good.
You're telling me that they didn't play when the red Robin comes bobbing along?
No, they didn't. They figured they'd have to charge Love Sport. Love Sport would charge them too much, I think. You guys would probably own that song right now.
Missed a trick. I can't believe it. Seven Nation Army, nothing on the red Robin. They also done a shirt. You're mentioning the brochure. Mixed reactions, I feel, with a shirt. The club disputing how many were sold. What did you make of the special anniversary kit?
I thought it was woeful, to be honest.
Oh, it's twice you've said that. We're not even 8 minutes in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they were doing. I mean, it's like someone won a raffle and they said, oh, well, congratulations. What have I won? You get to design the kit. Apparently, it's the fastest ever pre-ordered kit of all time when it comes to Bristol City. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm on my own here, but I thought it was pretty woeful. It looked all right on the pitch, I guess, but I certainly won't be wearing one. And it's certainly not on my list of potential birthday presents.
Potential birthday presents. Make sure you get the date out on national radio and we will be sure to send you a kit. I'm going to start a little raffle in the office because, Stanley, the amount of time you give us, I want to see that. And it's not woeful. It is beautiful. We have to remember that. It's no win in five for City. It's 1 point outside. And actually, coupled with Preston's form, because everyone seems to be stumbling over the line at the minute, is this going to go down, Stanley, to the last game, which sees you actually play Preston?
Oh, God, I bloody hope not. We are so woeful when we play Preston. It is so embarrassing. My best mate as well is a Preston fan, and we've both agreed that we will not be able to bear each other. Mm. I'd rather we both...
Let's get him on. Let's get him on that week.
Oh God, please no!
Can we?
Well, I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna block him. Well, maybe I'll. It'll be up for it. It'll probably be 10 beers down, but it'll be up for it. He's got a good thick accent as well, unlike me. I hope not, to be honest. But you know, I'm quite positive. You know, as you know, as you've probably got used to over the weeks I've come on here to spout nonsense. We've gained 2 points on Preston in 2 games. Mm. So I'm not complaining really. We're still seventh, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a bit later. Big game on Saturday, but you know, we're doing all right. Like you said, no one is really winning games. Apart from the top two, you know, I think I talked on the podcast either this week or last week that from 3rd to 15th, only 2 teams had won more than 2 games in the last 5. You know, we aren't the only team that's crap. It's just what the Championship is. And, you know, with decent performances against Millwall and Fulham, who are no pushovers, you know, if we start improving, we could, you know, as we know, Lee Johnson loves putting on a run. And all we've got to do is time that between now and the end of the season and we're Gucci.
Yeah, well, maybe someone to help you put on that run. Benika Fobi, you know, slowly returning, just easing back into training. We could be nearing an April return. Could we see him make an impact? Because he was kind of one before that really terrible injury. Could he be maybe the secret ingredient to fire City into those playoffs?
Quite possibly. I mean, I don't quite know when he'll be back fit. It's from the sound of things, maybe for the last 3 or 4 games. But even then, I don't know how fit he'll be in. I mean, the roof would, I think, implode. I think Bristol would just sort of disappear into a black hole or blow up or, I don't know, extend, put in whatever analogy or metaphor you want to use here, Charlie. I don't know what would happen to the City if Benika Fobi came back for the end of the season. And if he scored a goal or helped us to win a game, like if he scored the winner against Preston, I don't know what would happen. I think he'd be given the key to the City, to be honest. He'd probably go on Love Sport, to be honest. He'd never have to buy a pint again. Who knows? I think Naki Wells is the one that will make a bigger difference, you know, because he's here and he's fit and he scored the goal on Saturday. Mm.
And keys to the City, I mean, I couldn't have put it better myself. I actually want to talk about another City player, but a former City player. This time, Bobby Reid coming up for Fulham. Nearly went close. Is this a player that you never really wanted to see go, Stanley? How did you feel about seeing him but in Fulham colours on the weekend?
Yeah, I absolutely adore Bobby Reid, to be honest. I mean, there was a couple of seasons where he wasn't used enough and I was harking on about how good he is and he should really be played. Deep down, I never thought he'd turn into a sort of, you know, 20-goal season striker, but when he did that season, he was just amazing and sort of he just ran games for us. And I think I sort of hark back to games at home to Man United, away to Man City, where he was just amazing. And he didn't look out of place, you know. He was terrorising people like John Stones. And, well, I suppose it's John Stones. But anyway, no, he was really good. And to see him play for Fulham was a little bit disappointing, especially when you find out that he rejected us in the summer. And we tried to get him back from Cardiff, but he said, no, I'd rather go to Fulham. So, yeah, there's a lovely little moment that I'll just relay, because obviously I'm sure a lot of people weren't actually out there at the stadium, but early on in the game, sort of 3-4 minutes in, there was sort of a light chorus of boos towards Bobby Reid. I imagine because he went from us to Cardiff, our fierce rivals over the bridge. And when people heard that chorus of boos, the entire stadium responded by going with a really overzealous sort of sitting ovation, let's put it that way, when he came over to take a corner. I thought, you know what, that's quite lovely. You know, that was quite a nice sort of way of saying, you know what, Bobby, you know, you lived here, you were raised here, you played for the club from age 8 to whatever, 23, you scored 20 goals for us and gave us some great memories. Let's just show our appreciation before we, you know, try and batter your new team.
Oh, that warms the heart, that does. A little sitting ovation, Stanley. I mean, you can't ask for more. This is what dreams are made of, isn't it? This is the content I live for.
Yeah, I think I've heard that the once I go off air, the entire Love Sport office gives me a sitting ovation, but I'm yet to see it proven. But no, it's a great plan.
We're doing it currently. The guys in the office that are listening, as I look now through the gallery, they are applauding. They are applauding. We mentioned Bobby Reid. My producer is actually applauding now, and he is laughing and saying, good on Stanley. We mentioned, obviously, Bobby Reid and how he's held in the affection arms. What about Lee Johnson? Because, obviously, it is around this week, 4 years in charge. You're already laughing. What are you making of that time? Because I actually read a really interesting article. I think it was in The Guardian today, actually, with Ben Fisher talking about Lee Johnson. He is quite the character, isn't he? Talking about going and meeting people from other sports, having a tea or a coffee, seeing how they work. And there's something that there's there to be admired about Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, certainly. No, look, I admire that he's very honest, he's very open, he'll happily indulge people's questions, and from those that have spent time with him, either at fan events or AGMs and things like that, he's always happy to talk football, and he is, you know, he's admitted himself, he's hyper-attentive and he struggles to switch off, and he's always got time to sort of, you know, answer people's questions. Look, I think he's done a very good job. You know, we're the only team in the Football League to have improved in our league position 5 seasons in a row. He's obviously been a big part of that. We've lost our player of the season from our previous 4 seasons, so Aidan Flint, Jonathan Codger, Bobby Reid, Tammy Abraham, Adam Webster, Josh Brownhill, they've all gone. So I think, you know, I think he's had a tough job. He does talk a little bit of nonsense, I will admit, and he does do a lot of things that annoy me. But, you know, I certainly don't want him sacked by any means, despite there being a reasonably large contingent of Bristol City fans that do want that. My big issue is with the pathway, you know, with the player pathway, all this talk of academy players, growing our own players. We've had zero, that's right, let's say that number again, zero squad debutants this season. So no Bristol City player from our academy has been in the squad this season for the first time. We've had none. And that worries me, Charlie.
A worrying stat. Is that set to change, though? Because obviously you've just started doing a new training ground complex and development. Have I got that right, Stanley?
Yeah, you have. Yeah, it's quite big. So Steve Vance has put a bit of money into both us and the rugby club recently. The rugby club has got a brand new training ground. We're also going to have one. And that will certainly help having the sort of academy team on the same place as the first team. Because you sort of, it's a bit like St. George's for England. You know, that was a very important thing, having young players with the senior players. I just worry that he's got a bit of a track record, Lee Johnson, of just signing loans and free agents. And it sort of blocks the pathway, really. So all this talk of these academy players coming through, you know, I'm still yet to see it. I'm still yet to see it. So, you know, if he starts putting me in the team, then fine. I think he'll probably be pretty close to a perfect head coach. But at the moment, I feel like he's maybe a little bit too short-termist and doesn't, you know, give our own young local lads a bit of a chance. And, you know, when managers do that, that really helps fans fall in love with that team, I think.
Yeah, it does, and they become a fan's favourite. They root for him more because they just feel straight away, instantly connected to that player. Almost how you spoke about with Bobby Reid, being at the club from 8 and still talking about him with an affection, even though he went on to play for Cardiff. Well, I have that affection for you, Stanley. You've joined us once more, and I'm currently giving you that sitting ovation. Stanley, always good to speak to you. I will give you a text and make sure you are back on next week. Stanley Hughes there from One Stream in Bristol. Make sure, like you heard Stanley talking about his podcast as well, check those guys out for all your extra Robins content. But don't go anywhere, because there is still Paul Binning to join us.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Bristol City Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, I was just joined by Stanley Hughes from One Stream in Bristol. Always good to get Stanley Hughes on. And you know what? You can join us just like Stanley did and just like Paul does now. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, he is with us now, and it is Paul Binning from the exiled Robin. Well, he was exiled on this show. We didn't get to speak to him last week, but we called him straight back up to the first team squad because he is that valuable to us. Paul, really good to get you back on. Wanted to quickly talk about the anniversary game with you as well and get your thoughts on it, because it was a big day for the club and obviously a big day for you, the fans.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one in a way, because there was a sort of decision to change the sort of foundation date almost. We celebrated our centenary year in 1997, but there was some sort of talk about when the club was founded. It was a bit funny in a way. Mostly I thought it went really well, and it was a good day. There was a good atmosphere in the ground. People got there early, I think, to sort of see a lot of, you know, a lot of the ex-players paraded on the pitch and joining the celebrations. I think it certainly added to an atmosphere on a Saturday lunchtime, which can often be a bit of a dead atmosphere at times, I find, on a Saturday at 12:30 to get the crowd going. So I think it certainly contributed, and it, you know, it was mostly executed very well and done very well, and good day out.
Yeah, exactly. A good day out. And we actually said on last week's show, Paul, because there wasn't, you know, Bristol City was struggling for form at the minute, even though it was that early kickoff and sometimes that can change things, it will be a different atmosphere on the day, and we'll kind of, maybe it will be the catalyst to spark the side, galvanise the team. And even though it wasn't in the form of 3 points, we kind of did see that in the performance, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, there's much improved performance all round. Improved from an attitude point of view, from an energy point of view, just a general approach. And, you know, I know it sounds silly to say, I think even if we'd lost, if we played like that, the fans would at least gone home and said, OK, we gave that a go, we had a real go at that. And that's good to see, because we haven't had too many games like that this season. We've, you know, said before on the show, we struggled a bit at home, it's been a bit slow, it's been a bit tepid, it's not really been sort of edge-of-your-seat stuff. And there was a real murmur around the ground on Saturday. It has been quiet at times. You've looked around, you've seen people sort of sitting back and relaxing in their seat, not really sure, you know, what to get excited by. And it was different on Saturday. It was a good game, good entertaining game. Both teams contributed to that. I think the referee contributed to that as well. He let a lot go, and it really, really helped the atmosphere overall.
Yeah, and Lee Johnson said after the game, Bristol City were back to their busy bee identity. Is that the identity of the team?
If he says so, yeah, I'll go with it. it's a term he uses quite a lot, and he obviously, yeah, I'm guessing he uses it a lot in media. He obviously uses it quite a lot with the players and the team. But yeah, there was more energy. I think we picked a team with a bit more energy in it. There were three or four maybe who came in or have been coming in for the last couple of games who, yeah, what I call the legs, the runners. People like Callum O'Dowd are out wide, Hando Masengo in the middle, Andy Wyman back in the sort of side after a couple of games out. I think we picked players who could really get about for them and put some pressure on them, and who had a bit of energy and a bit of pace when we got the ball to try and attack them and, you know, catch them out as well and defensively.
Yeah, catch them out defensively. I watched Lee Johnson's press conference today, obviously ahead of the Blackburn game. He was asked a couple of questions. Just wanted to get your thoughts, Paul. Firstly, he was asked if the new signings have upset chemistry in the team, and that was maybe what contributed to the run. Bit of a strange question, I thought, with, you know, a couple of players have come in. What did you make of that?
I think the question's valid. If only that against, who did we play last week? Millwall. If only against Millwall, three of them were left out of the team entirely. And Lee Johnson's had a bit of a thing over the last 3 years when he's been with us. When he's in a bad run, he tends to go back to the players he trusts. So we went with 11 players who he's known for a bit longer at a club for that game. Nike Wells came back in for Saturday. Henriksen wasn't in the side. Benkovic was only on the bench and had to come on. So, in a sense, it was still a sort of an older, more regular side there. And I think it's a valid question. You know, whether they set the chemistry or not, I don't know. Whether they're all match fit or not, I don't know. I mean, Benkovic and Henriksen certainly haven't played a lot of football this year, or a lot of, you know, men that have professional football. So maybe there's an element of that too. And Lee Johnson does talk a lot about this identity, this busy bee, this getting about teams. And if he was maybe feeling that those players coming in, you know, weren't doing that, then, you know, he's left them out. And I think it's a perfectly valid question.
Yeah, and he was also obviously asked about Casey Palmer, someone that has been left out, and he's saying that, you know, it's the best he's trained in the last 2 weeks. Fans want to see him, he said, but when we've been on this run, he said, fans have to remember we are only 1 point outside the playoffs. I didn't want to change it too much. He's saying he could be involved in the next few weeks. What do you make of the whole Palmer situation?
Well, it's a strange one, I think, to be honest. I mean, personally, I thought he was... He's clearly a very talented player. Yeah, he's got all the skills. He's our most skillful player. He's the one probably most likely to create a goal. But then you weigh that up against all the other stuff he doesn't do and the times he gives the ball away in midfield. And it's a difficult one for a manager, I think. And I was surprised when we signed him, if I'm honest, permanently in the summer. I didn't think he'd really done enough on loan last season to warrant a big fee and big wages. He's had a few opportunities this season. Not very many, admittedly. He hasn't really made the most of them, apart from one or two instances. So, going back to my mantra, if you're on a bad run, Lee Johnson tends to like the hard workers, the busy bees, the engine room motoring, and he won't look at Casey Palmer as someone who can come in and do that job. So if we can pick up a little bit of form, if we can, you know, not fall to a defeat on Saturday and get back to a bit of form, then yes, I can see how you might then want to try and integrate him and bring him in, because I think what you have got in Naki Wells is a striker who, in theory, should relish playing with Palmer in behind him, trying to slot balls through for his runs. I think that's the sort of striker he is, and it's not the sort of striker we've had up until now.
Yeah, and that's kind of the feedback we're getting on the show, is that maybe he's the one that could, you know, spark Wells into life since signing for big money. It is Blackburn on the weekend. They had actually playoff ambitions of their own, Paul, you know. They were just outside, but it was a bit of a damaging defeat, losing 3-0 to Derby, who could actually have a say in it themselves. What do you make of the fixture? Because you would have to say it's massive for both teams on the weekend.
Yeah, I think it really is. I think, you know, you say you're looking at them and they're probably getting to a point where they really almost have to start winning their home games to stay in the picture and stay in the hunt. As you say, somehow, we're still only 1 point away, or whatever, one place away.
And it's madness.
You're still looking at, it's quite remarkable, really, given the run of form we've been on. And, I think that you, again, with us, you're starting to look at games, you start thinking, if you lose that and a couple of other results go the wrong way, that's 4 points. That's, you know, that's starting to become a big gap then with, eight games, nine games left. So it is a big game. I think, like, any game in this position at this stage of the season, you'd be happy to come away with a draw without a defeat, and you go again on then to your home game and hope to pick up the 3 points there and make it a good week.
Yeah, hope to pick up the 3 points. Where do you think Blackburn will get at them, and where can Bristol City finally get at Rovers to get this first win? Because we're talking about no wins in five, Paul.
Yeah, well, I think what we need to do is we need to play to our strengths. I know that sounds like a really obvious football cliche, but we really do need to. I think we have a tendency to try and play against the opposition too much and counter what they're doing and worry about them too much. And I think we've got to just say, right, okay, 4-4-2 worked on a bit on Saturday. It's worked the last couple of games. It worked earlier in the season. Let's go with that. Let's get the right players in. Let's make sure they're aware of what their jobs are and what they need to do. And then, make sure we're just doing something if we need to counter Blackburn. I think we spend a lot of time worrying about the other team. Blackburn, they're clearly a good team. Where they are in the league, they've got some threats. But we've done well against them, actually, reasonably well against them in recent years, in the last three or four times we played them. So hopefully we can take that into the game and produce a result and performance out there to get what we need.
Yeah, prediction for you then, Paul.
I'm going to be a bit more of a realist. I'll go a 1-1 draw. We haven't drawn a game for 4 months, and we've just drawn the last couple, so I'm going to go another 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw? Oh, it'll be no win in six.
I know.
That's not what I wanted to hear. I can't believe we can't end on that. Let me ask you one more question, because A bit of a random one, this, actually. Could we see now, Paul, because we're seeing, you know, in the Europa League, in Serie A and Champions League tonight, the coronavirus playing empty stadiums, games behind closed doors. Could we see this not only come to the Premier League, but the EFL, and really maybe, you know, muck up this playoffs and this relegation races? Teams not only playing games behind closed doors, but games postponed as well.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable at some point, to be honest, and I don't know quite what happened there. I think the threat almost in a way to lower level teams is worse than the Premier League. I mean, lower league teams need the money. They can't play.
Absolutely.
They can't suddenly have two or three home games taken out of their finance figures. So it would be interesting to see how the EFL reacts to it, if there is an issue in terms of, you know, major town closures or players potentially getting the illness. And yeah, it's all up in the air, isn't it? I think there's no, you know, I'm certainly not booking train tickets for April, let's put it like that, I don't think, for my late game. No, so we've got to, yeah, go on Saturday, you know, get a win, get ourselves in a good position, and then we can hopefully push on from there through whatever challenges face us.
Push on from there. There's the positive to end on. Paul, always good to talk to you and good to get you back on the show. Paul Binning there, Exiled Robin. Really good, strong show. Stanley and Paul, just brilliant with their City content. It's why we get them on. But you can come on as well and join us. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. The Bristol City Show will be back at the same time as it is every Wednesday, 9 to 9.30 on Lovesport Radio.
When the red robin comes bobbing along.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.